America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Jay Gruden, the former head coach here in D.C., is with us.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
Jay, how about the Washington Commanders? They are 4-1 for the first time since 2008. They got a chance to be 5-1 for the first time since 1996. It just doesn't feel real.
Yeah, they're putting on teams too. The last 2 weeks, they've looked unstoppable. The defense is playing a hell of a lot better. They're hustling. They're flying around to the ball. And they are kicking people's ass, which is fun to watch.
So I want to start on that defense, Jay. As an offensive guy, what are you seeing differently than was happening maybe the first three games? They look like a different group on defense.
Yeah, I think Coach Quinn's done a good job of mixing up coverages and fronts. They put some five-man fronts out there. They're moving people around. Luvu, is that his name? How do you say it? Luvu?
That's it.
Yeah, he's bouncing around all over the place. They're rushing Wagner in the A-gaps. They're giving you different looks, and then they're playing a run a lot better. You know, Bobby Wagner's always been a good run player. The interior guys, they're rotating in and out a little bit better. I think they're staying a lot more fresh offensively as they're doing their part, playing good field position games. So, yeah, all around they're playing good team defense. They're hustling, they're tackling, and they're playing well.
Jay, give me one legitimate reason why Kevin Stefanski should not have benched Deshaun Watson about halfway through yesterday's game.
I don't have one. I don't understand it, really. He hasn't looked good all year. Offensively, they have no pizzazz whatsoever. They can't drop back and throw it. They can hardly protect. When they do have protections, when he scrambles around and runs into pressure, it's bad football right now over there at Cleveland. So they should make a change. Jameis Winston, I don't know if he'll be the cure-all, but he'll be a hell of a lot more fun to watch. I mean, look what happened when Flacco came in last year, took him to the playoffs, played extremely well, and maybe a change of pace is what they need.
Yeah, they lost Watson to injury, I guess, the last 2 years, but they got a lot better with Brissett, who played better than him 2 years ago. They got a lot better with Flacco, who played better than him last year, and now we're on to year three, and it's just trending in the wrong direction. That's why we're trying to figure out, yes, Washington did a lot of things well, but how much of that was just a broken quarterback that was incompetent, kind of aiding them in their defensive renaissance, so to speak?
Well, there's a little bit of that, but you have to force them into those issues. Seven sacks is not a fluke now. They got after his ass, and they kept the pressure on him. They did a good job stopping the run for the most part. Ford had that 16-yard hit, and Foreman had a 25-yard hit, but for the most part, they kept him in third down long, got off the field on third down, and they stayed fresh the entire game and just stayed relentless, stayed after him. It was a great performance. I know it was anemic by the Browns, but Washington had to make them look anemic, and they did.
Jay Gruden with us here on Grant and Danny. So, Jay, this is not a good question. I just kind of want your thoughts on this. Early on, especially, I thought Cleveland's defense was pretty good. Five of the first six plays either went for no gain or were negative. The one was a Daniel scramble that he threw up to Terry McLaurin for a big gain right before turning it over. Like, Cleveland, I thought, had a good plan. They were aggressive. They were pressuring. They were tackling close and then behind the line of the scrimmage. And they still, Washington, still scored 24 points in the first half. It's not a great question. I just sort of can't believe what I'm seeing at this point. Even when the other defense is good and playing well, they still end up scoring 24 points and a half. Your thoughts?
Yeah, a lot has to do with Washington's defense getting a lot of three and outs and getting the ball right back and giving the opportunity for the offense. When you give Jaden Daniels multiple opportunities in a quarter, three, four, five opportunities in a quarter, he's going to get a couple in there. I mean, he's unbelievable. So, the key for beating Washington is keeping that guy on the sideline. You got to get your running game going and try to get these 8-9 play drives going and keep the clock running and be physical with Washington's defense. But Cleveland couldn't do it and just kept giving the ball back to Washington, and opportunities are golden for Washington right now on offense.
What did you make of their first half, Jay? Because I'm sitting there late second quarter and I'm going, man, they're leaving a lot of meat on the bone. They had a pick on the goal line. They miss an easy touchdown throw. They had a ball at their own 2-yard line. Should have been a 80-yard, 100-yard touchdown maybe to Zach Ertz down the middle of the field if he doesn't get caught, overthrown. And in addition to some of the inaccuracy stuff that we hadn't seen at any point with Jaden, just overall, it wasn't quite as clean. And yet, the 66-yard play he made to McLaurin was a top-five play I've ever seen by a quarterback in that stadium. You know, the 41-yard throw to De'Ami Brown was nuts. The 34-yard run, like, his good was so good that you look up and they have 24 points at the half, even though it didn't feel like they played well offensively.
Yeah, he missed a couple throws, but not really. I mean, he did a good. They scored on the third drive of the game. Now, the first two drives, they punt and they drive down there and they get the interception. He just didn't see the player right there. It was not a terrible throw. He just didn't see him. You know, had a corner out over the top of him. Probably should have worked the other side, turning it wide open, but that happens sometimes. And then he bounced back and scrambled, and they got the touchdown. And they, Cleveland's got a good defense now. They got an all-pro corner and one of the best pass rushers in the league. So they're not going to be easy to get points on when you play that defense. But the more opportunities you give Jaden, the better opportunities you have, and that's what they did. They stayed with the course. They didn't panic. They did a good job with the protection plan. They hit a couple big plays, right, and stuck with the plan and ran the ball. Eckler had a couple big hits. So I like what the way they played and called the game. They didn't have to take too many chances because as the game was going on, they could see that Cleveland couldn't move the ball at all. So they were a little bit more conservative probably and then went after them. Later in the game and made some big plays.
I guess I mean this almost complimentary, as if to say, I thought that they weren't that sharp and they scored 24 because of the chunks. They had seven plays of 23 or more yesterday. They had gains of 66, 50, 41, 34, 33. I mean, it's almost like it erases a lot of the less efficient plays.
Oh, exactly right. Against a good defense, you have to have some chunk plays because, like I mentioned before with Cleveland, it's hard to move the ball, 12 plays, 80 yards against some of these good defenses. You're going to have some chunk plays. And the way Jaden's playing and Terry's running down the field, now you got De'Ami Brown doing it. Zach Ertz almost had another big play. So Eckler had another big play. So you can get it from multiple people. And big plays are going to be a necessity moving forward when they play teams with better defenses.
Jay Gruden with us here.
Offenses.
Jay Gruden with us on Grant Nanny. Sorry, Jay. Just you've been around this game a long time, coaching and observing it and, living this life. For us, this is new territory. We usually don't see teams that beat up on bad teams and get to rest their starters in the fourth quarter and everyone's laughing and joking on the sidelines and having a grand old time. We're never used to this. How good is this team? Like, not just for right now, the second. I know they're playing well. But the future, 5 weeks from now, 10 weeks from now, like, where does this group go?
I'm watching around the league, Danny, and these guys are as good as everybody I'm watching on TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, Baltimore had a hell of a game against Cincinnati. I mean, they won in overtime because, the holder dropped the ball for Cincinnati. Buffalo struggled. Some of the elite teams, Kansas City, struggling a little bit on offense. Dallas has their issues, right? Philadelphia has their issues. So I don't know why you can't say these guys are as good as anybody in the league right now, other than maybe Minnesota, who I think is playing the best football on both sides of the ball. So San Francisco lost to Arizona, who just got pummeled by Washington last week. So this is a hard league to figure out this year. I'm telling you that. I promise you, with the quarterback play of Jaden Daniels, the way they can run the football, and the defense is starting to come together, hustle and play hard, I don't see why they can't win 10, 11, 12, 13 games.
So you think they are one of the best teams in football?
They're playing like it right now. I'm telling you this, Jaden Daniels is top three quarterback right now, playing right now after the first five games. You have to say that, right? I mean, he's playing unbelievable. I mean, the other day, Cleveland's got a free rusher, and he doesn't even come close to getting Jaden. He just runs around him and tiptoes out of bounds for a gain of six instead of a loss of nine. So this guy is playing an ultra-high level both within the pocket and outside the pocket, which is going to give them opportunities to compete with anybody on their schedule. And then defensively, they continue to play hard and play good. They'll be in every game.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
As a coach, how do you keep the guys from believing that this thing is it's a wrap? You know what I mean? Like, I know these guys are pros that come to work every day, but there's a feeling that's happened here a lot of times after a bit of success where everyone, whether it's they read their press clippings or that's just a figure of speech, but guys just sort of, you know, feel like, hey, we've done it, I've arrived, it's all over, like we're here at the top of the mountain, when in reality, you've had five good weeks, and that's awesome, but that's not a season, right? As a coach, what would you do to kind of keep these guys on brand, on message, to say, hey, there's a lot of work to be done, kind of keep at it?
Well, I think winning helps a lot. I mean, you can put the stuff on tape the way they're hustling and playing hard, and that carries over in the type of people that looks like they have in the locker room. I think help a lot. Leaders like Terry McLaurin and Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen, those guys are good for you. And adding Bobby Wagner, who's probably a future Hall of Famer. These are great quality players that can keep people going. Zach Ertz, another veteran guy. They did a great job addressing certain positions and getting the type of character you need to keep your football team focused. Can't always be the coach yelling at you. You got to have players within the building to keep your team on track and doing the right thing. And I think they got great leadership, have great athleticism, and they play hard.
Jay Gruden, weekly with us here on Grant and Danny every Monday to break the game down, to break down the Daniels performance after watching the film. 5 o'clock on Mondays with us on The Fan. So, Jay, you mentioned maybe top three, you would say, just kind of top of your head as to how well he's playing. Who's in that convo? What are we talking about with Daniels right now?
Are you talking about this year?
Yeah, yeah, obviously, you know, you would,
obviously Lamar is playing crazy. Joe Burrow turned the corner a little bit. Just the normal good players, I think. You talk about Burrow and obviously Mahomes, but he's not lighting up the world statistically, but they are undefeated. Sam Darnold is, he had a couple really good games, kind of, you know, played okay, but they're 5-0, so he's doing some good things. But Jaden, the way he's running the football, he got 250 yards rushing already and throwing for over 1,000 yards. His completion percentage is high. There's not any quarterback in the league that can say that other than maybe Lamar right now. So, I think he's playing as good as anybody in the league right now.
So, Jay, how would you coach Daniels at this stage? And I guess what I mean is, you know, these moments that you're talking about, right? Like that 4th-and-3 where Owusu-Koramoah has him dead to rights until he doesn't, and he's left in the dust for a 34-yard gain, the sack into a first down that you referenced earlier, or the deep pass to McLaurin, or all in those kind of improvisational, you can't coach that type plays, right? But then maybe if you go back and look at the film, like, hey, this guy might have been open quick and easy for the first down, et cetera. How do you balance that as an offensive mind? Because you don't want to stifle the gifts, but you also want maybe some of the easy stuff that may be available within scheme. Like, what's the balance there as a coach?
Yeah, for sure. You got to keep coaching the scheme, right? That's number one. You're going to keep coaching the scheme and how you're going to attack the opposing defense. Baltimore is going to have a different way of playing defense, whether it's quarters or cover two or match, whatever they're going to play. So you got to have plays that attack that and continue to coach them up. And then when plays break down, you just, hey, do your thing, protect the football and protect yourself, for God's sakes. But I don't think you can overcoach him when it comes to his ability to extend plays. That's just a God-given talent that he has. And you just got to ride with it and have some fun and watch him and pat him on the head when he comes off the sideline, because he'll usually make it into a good play.
One more about the offense for me, Jay, is what I think is really cool. I mean, I think back to your offenses, right, where it's like when you had Pierre Garçon, DeSean Jackson, Jordan Reed, it had to be pretty exceptional for one of those guys not to get the ball in a certain play. You know what I mean? Like, it made a lot of sense. You go to the stars. Those guys are so productive, so good. This seems like it's a different guy almost series per series, right? I mean, I know McLaurin's has put up a little bit of numbers here with over 100 this past week, but going back to last week, they didn't have Eckler. It didn't matter because it was McNichols and Olamide Zaccheaus. This week, you know, Dalmi Brown has a big catch. How is that like something that becomes sustainable, even though it's not one person or not one star? How do they kind of keep mixing and matching and like playing whack-a-mole for a defense where a new guy comes up every week with a big play?
It's great on offense because it keeps everybody engaged. And Jaden does a great job of spreading the ball out. He doesn't play favorites. He doesn't force feed one guy. And you can tell that the team is really unselfish, and that's important too. You got to have a team of unselfish players that don't care about fantasy numbers. They're going to go out, block when they're asked to block, run a decoy route when they're asked to run a decoy route. When their number's called and they're open, they know Jaden's going to give them a shot to catch it, and they're going to produce. So it just works all the way around. But you got to have the right type of players in your building. I think Dan Quinn and the organization done a great job getting those players in here with McCaffrey and the draft picks that they got and the new offensive lineman that they added from Dallas. I mean, they got some good players that really helped out this football team, and they're all unselfish good players.
Is it too early for me to be a little bit worried that Cliff Kingsbury is going to get head coaching consideration?
Yeah, I don't think. No, he'll probably get another job for sure. I think that's why you have to groom your coaches on staff to continue what he's been doing there. And I think that sometimes the quarterback makes the coach look a lot better. And I'm not putting any shade on Cliff Kingsbury whatsoever. Don't get me wrong there. But I think when you have an outstanding quarterback like Jaden Daniels, I think the next coordinator will be just fine. You know, look at all the coordinators Tom Brady had. He had about seven of them. They were all just fine.
Yeah, I mean, if Daniels is that special, right, then no doubt. But we've also seen so many times where a guy leaves and it's not the same after that. But I guess, like anything, you know, whether it's a head coach, a wide receiver, if you got the right quarterback, then a lot of things don't matter a whole lot, really.
Yeah, I mean, look at Shanahan. He left here. They were 3-13 when he left, and he went to Atlanta, and he had Matt Ryan, and he goes to San Fran, and, you know, he's got all these talented players. He's done a pretty good job. So, you know, the situation sometimes for coaches, you got to have some players that can execute, especially at the quarterback position. That makes everything a hell of a lot easier for the play caller.
Jay, I want to go around the league a little bit with you. You mentioned the Ravens earlier. That offense last couple of weeks, 35 points, 41 in overtime against Cincinnati. All of a sudden, they're humming over 500 yards of offense.
How about the touchdown? Did you see it, Danny?
That was a video game play where you would have just thrown the controller down.
That's one of the craziest plays I've ever seen in an NFL game. You see the Lamar touchdown, Jay?
Yeah, I watched that whole game. So you, they were both on at the same time. I was at a sports bar watching them, and it was hard not to watch Lamar in that game. Poor Jaden. It was fun. 3 hours of watching football with those guys. Lamar made some plays that, you know, not even that one. Other plays that were just unbelievable. So, yeah, he's a fun to watch guy, too.
Well, they match up this week now. What do you make of Baltimore just in general? Defensively, maybe not quite as good as I thought, but that offense is tough to stop.
Yeah, that's the issue, man. This might be a shootout. I mean, really, defensively, they've given up some chunk plays now. Their corners aren't locking down receivers right now. They're having trouble stopping any kind of short routes, deep route. They're getting by them. There are people running the ball against them. So, you know, they're not the Baltimore Ravens that you're accustomed to. You know, back in the day, if you scored 17 points against the Ravens, you're high-fiving. Nowadays, you're probably going to have to score 35 to beat them. So it's a totally different ball game. But offensively, they're playing a high level. Their offensive line's playing very well together. And both teams are healthy. And that's the other part that you have to understand, too, as the season goes on. You got to stay healthy with your key players. I see so many teams right now that are battling injuries to their key players, and they got no chance. But both teams right now are coming to this game very healthy. So you'll get a very good test to see where you are as a football team when you play the Ravens next week.
Jay, I got a dude who just slid into my Instagram DMs, at Grant H. Paulson. And he slid into the DMs. He wants me to ask you this. He said, ask Jay if he thinks they should be buyers before the deadline to try to make a run this year. I would, you know, provide the caveat just as a former coach. At what point do you start advocating and going to Peters and saying, hey, look around the league at the landscape here. We can win this division. We could mess around and host a playoff game. Yeah, our plan was one thing, but that's all well and good until now. We're 7-2 or whatever. I mean, is that get to a point where you might try to expedite the process a little bit to add a piece for the next couple of years if you can?
I think so. I think if it's the right guy and the right type of player that you got to make sure you get the right type of character guy, you know, in a position fit for you. Like I would say, just off the top of my head, if there's a pass rusher out there that they could really get to go alongside Armstrong, I think that would be very beneficial. Especially the way the offense is playing. If you're going to play with the lead and teams are going to have to come back and throw the ball, I would like to see him add one more very good pass rusher off the left side or right side, whatever it might be. And, you know, if there's a receiver that they really like. But I really like the way this team is built, the chemistry that they have. Sometimes if you add a guy, a knee guy that can disrupt the chemistry, it can be more of a problem than good.
I was going to ask about that because on offense, before the season, I'm going, they probably need one more playmaker, especially at receiver. Now I'm not so sure. They just, you know, they scored 35 a week without anybody elite opposite Terry McLaurin. What would that have to be in order for somebody to qualify there? And if there's we know some of the names are out there, whether it's Davante Adams or otherwise, but how would you find someone that could truly fit in with what this group is doing on offense? Or is it even worth trying?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't know if it's even worth trying. You know, I don't know how, you know, if Noah Brown's injury, how bad that is, how long he's going to be out. But yeah, I just think Deami Brown and OZ and Luke, they do different things for you. But I still think maybe one more bigger type receiver would be beneficial, not only to help you now, but maybe have some depth down the line. Because if something happens to Terry McLaurin, knock on wood, you're going to have somebody that can make some big plays for you. And I don't know if any of those guys can do that without Terry being on the field.
Jay Gruden on G&D. I'll let you out on this one. Last one from me. I'm curious what you think about this take. I just want your first blush reaction. I said earlier in the show, and I'm normally fairly measured But here we are 5 games in, and I said, it would now feel like a disappointment if they go 6-6 the rest of the way and finish 10-7. It was said differently, maybe. It would almost feel like a disappointment if they don't win a pretty mediocre NFC East. Your reaction to that is?
I agree with you 100%. I really do. I just think what these guys have put on tape for the first 5 weeks, you know, it's not like they played an easy schedule. The Giants just went to Seattle and beat them. Cardinals just beat the hell out of San Francisco. The Bengals, obviously, are the Bengals. They beat them on Monday Night Football, Joe Burrow. So they've had some tough teams they've had to beat. So, yeah, I'm not too sold on the NFC East right now, the other teams. Dallas has their issues on defense, and Dak makes some bonehead throws every now and then. Philadelphia, they're always in the media for something negative going on over there. And, you know, he can beat the Giants. He already did. So I don't see why that's a stretch to say you can't win the NFC East and go at least 8-4 your last 12.
Jay, super quick question before we let you go. I know you, obviously, you're in demand and you go on multiple shows, you know, for our company across the different platforms. Which show is your favorite one to go on?
Yours, of course.
That's what we were hoping you would say, Jay. Because
I told Chris it was his too. So,
well, it's funny you say that because earlier today on another station in a far off land, this is what Jay Gruden had to say.
Listen to this, Jay.
So I was just over hanging out with the boys, Grant and Danny, who I know you're going to be on at 5 o'clock with them. And I said, "Hey, Grant," I said, "do you have any good questions for me to ask Jay Gruden that I can steal from you?" And he laughed, and Danny chimed in. He goes, "Ask him who he enjoys being on more with, you, meaning me, or us, meaning Grant and Danny." So I'm going to ask you, who do you enjoy being on more with?
Oh, you, Chris, for sure. You're the
best. I never really heard of Grant Paulson.
There's a little more energy, it sounds like.
There, I believe that one.
With what you said to Russell.
Can't you tell sarcasm when you hear it?
Oh, you, Chris, for sure.
You know what? That does sound like sarcasm.
Now that you replay it, my detector's going off.
Yeah. He's got that Rob Kelly like growl going. Uh-huh. I love me some Rob Kelly, man.
It's you, Chris.
Oh, you, Chris, for sure.
Yep.
You know what? The jury has spoken. They just slammed the gavel. It sounds like Jay Gruden enjoys this show the most.
He's a this show guy.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Jay Gruden.
Especially when you go to barbecue joints.
Exactly. That's when you're really going to like this show. We'll put some ribs down, some wings down with you. Jay, thank you as always for hopping on, buddy. We'll do it again next Monday.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
See you, brother.
There's Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.